Well, good to see you this morning. There's people looking for critters out there and thinning the herd out a little bit, and lots of busy things going on this time of year. Kind of thin the herd, restore it back to what it's supposed to be. You know, sometimes we need restoration. Sometimes we need comeback from failures in our life. And we go through life, and there's a lot of times that a lot of people do things that we just don't think they should do. And they make decisions we don't agree with. And some are really close to us, people close to us, and we come disappointed in their choices and their actions. And some are friends, some are family. But we expect more from people than they do themselves sometimes. And we get disappointed. And getting disappointed, it hurts deeply. It's a special kind of hurt. You know, some things can make us angry. Sometimes the anger can leave fairly quickly too, but disappointment seems to last a little bit longer. It cuts a little deeper. I'm sure you can sit there and name a person or two that have disappointed you over the years in your life, and that have hurt you in that type of way, that have did something wrong, or you expected them better of them than what they chose to do, and you've been disappointed by them. I think we all can. But now I want you to take a minute and think about the people you may have disappointed. They're out there. Be honest with yourself. How did it make you feel when you realized how disappointed and hurt the other person was? Maybe you don't even know. But we get disappointed, but we disappoint people as well. And some say, well, have you ever disappointed God? Are you afraid of disappointing God? Well, don't worry about it, because you will. It's going to happen. And he even knows it. He knows you're going to disappoint him. He knows it ahead of time. So it's not a surprise. You can't surprise him, but he knows the disappointments will come. And I think he wants better for us. He expects better for us. And that's why he is a God of restoration. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to be restored, you know. See all these restoration things. They've got restorations on homes and cars, and the one just restores anything, you know. Video game machines and bubblegum machines and little kids' ride toys and stuff from years ago. You know, they restore them. They take the dents out. They take the rough spots out. You know, they were once what they should have been, and they get dented up, get beat up a little bit, and go through places maybe they shouldn't have gone. But then they get restored. They get put back together again. They get made back new, back to what they were supposed to be. And that's what God wants us to do. And, you know, we mess up all the time. You know, we're going to mess up. But if God's grace wasn't so abundant, we wouldn't have a chance. But it is abundant. So don't be afraid to try to accept it and try again in what he's called you to do. You know, you got to get over our failures. You know, they're going to happen. But God's there to encourage us to do more. I want to talk about St. Peter today in John chapter 21. But Peter, I'm sure he felt he disappointed Jesus and failed him when he denied him three times. After saying he loved him the most and would do anything for him. You know, Peter was one that kind of talked first and then thought about his words. You know, he blurted out things right off the bat before he thought about them a little bit. You know, and he said, you know, he would love him and never turn. It wouldn't happen. And then Jesus told him, you know, on that, I said, no, you're going to deny me three times. Of course, he said, never happen. Not going to happen. And of course, it did happen. And the third time Jesus looked at him and he saw Jesus' face and he knew that he had messed up. But it does say he left and wept bitterly. I believe really bitterly. And I believe he repented, and I believe he asked for forgiveness. Now we get on down to John 21, verses 15 through 17, and you know, we've come to the point, you know, Jesus has shown himself a couple times, and we get to a third time here, and you know, in between, Peter decides to go fishing. He even got some of his friends to go with him. You know, sometimes after failures in life, and trying to do things the right way, and having some failures, we go back to what we knew before. You know, back to what we used to do. That's not always a good thing. But we revert back to prior habits and prior actions, and in our own strength, they don't have much success. You know, he didn't have much success in his own strength. But Jesus was on the shore, you know, kind of setting it up for the verse. He's on the shore. He's already got the fish fry going. He's got the fish on the coals, and he's got bread ready. And of course, he asked if they had any fish. And of course, they had fished all night and had to admit, like, you know, fishermen are usually, you know, oh yeah, I've got one this big. They don't want to admit one this big, or hard enough to admit, no, we fished all night, we got nothing. We got zero. But they had admitted they caught nothing. And Jesus, you know, told them to put the net on the right side of the boat. There's some fish over there. I'm not going to go into all that, but you can imagine what they thought. You know, just take it from here where you've caught nothing for all night long, but put it over here. There's a lot of fish over there. And so they caught so many they couldn't haul it in. They couldn't haul it in, so they had to tow it to shore. And we find out they caught 153 fish, which is a message for another day. So not today. But Jesus gave them bread and fish to eat. And then he had a conversation with Peter. And John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had finished eating, John said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, Jesus asked him, do you love me more than these? A little bit of debate on what he was talking about. Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than this profession that you've taken into? You know, you kind of went back to it. You know, I called you out from a boat. You go back to the boat. You know, you've gone back to what you were doing before. Do you love me more than that? Do you love me more than this profession as a fisherman? You know, again, his failure sent him back to what he trusted himself to do properly. He knew how to do that. He had confidence in that. It's what he was comfortable with after he had failed. And then I believe he's talking about the other disciples. You know, some of the disciples were in the boat with him. You know, he had already earlier said he loved Jesus. He, you know, blurted it out, I love you more than anybody, more than any of these. And maybe he's asking the same thing. Do you love me more than these? And so Jesus starts to ask him. I find it interesting. He calls him Simon. You know, he uses his original name instead of the name Peter that he changed it to. And he asks Simon, do you love me? Of course, Simon says, or Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And there's a problem that two different Greek words were used here. When Jesus asked him, do you love me? Jesus used the agapos, or agape love, version of the word love. And that's a deep, deep love, a spiritual love, just a all about the other person, love, a godly love for someone else. That's what Jesus used. Well, Peter, he used the word phileo. And phileo is means you're fond or affectionate towards someone. You know, we get Philadelphia, brotherly love. He used a lesser form of love when he got back to Jesus. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. You know, he could have said, look, because why are you out here? You know, I told you to be fishers of men, not actual fishermen. Why did you come back out here? He could have said, I desire more from you than what you're doing. You know, but he didn't. You know, he didn't bring up the past. He just asked simple questions, drawing Peter back in, so Peter would realize where he was at. You know, a second time, says Jesus, asked Simon, do you love me? Again, he used the words for agape love. And Peter again answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And again, he used the phileo form of the word love. And Jesus responds, feed my sheep. Now, this is a different Greek word, too, from the first one, feed my lambs to feed my sheep. It's a different Greek word. It means it's more than the first answer. It means to shepherd my sheep, to tend, to watch over, to take care of them. You know, to really watch over them. And then a third time, you know, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Only this time Jesus used the word love in phileo to match what Peter said. He came down to Peter's level. I think Peter didn't feel he merited saying he felt agape love for God after what he had done. He didn't feel worthy for that. He didn't feel like he was up to that. But yet he was hurt that Jesus asked him a third time if he loved him. But then it says Peter then looked at Jesus. You know, maybe just as Jesus looked at him the third time he was denied. He looked at Jesus. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I think there was an understanding there that he knew who the Lord was. More got into more of who he was. You know all things. So you know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And I think he, again, got an understanding with Jesus about his own weakness and an understanding of what Jesus called him to do. And Jesus was calling him back. Jesus was restoring him to where he had been, you know. Peter was called to follow Jesus and be a fisher of men. You know, he was called off a boat the first time. He's called off that boat a second time. He took him back to the beginning. Is this where you learned it? This is where we're going to start again. Called him off that boat again. And he stood around the fire pit and denied Jesus three times. You know, now he's standing around a fire pit that has fish on it. But he gets to tell Jesus he loves him three times. It kind of cancels out those deniers. It's God saying, I know you denied me three times, but now you're saying you love me three times. I want to restore you. I want to cancel those out. I want to get rid of that. And Peter's restored your relationship with Jesus. And he follows what Jesus called him to do. We're going to have an invitation. And then we're going to have communion today. I want to tell you before the invitation, guy tells a story about not letting past failures trip you up. This is my sports story of the week. So, not letting past failures trip you up. Says it was the fifth inning. You know, baseball game, 9 innings, 5th inning. Two men on, 2 base runners, 2 men out, only 1 out left. I swept the batter's box with my cleats, and I squeezed the bat. Stepping in, I adjusted my helmet, took a couple of practice swings. I was ready. A hit will score 2 runs and tie up the game, I told myself. The pitcher went into a stretch, and then he delivered. I fouled off his pitch, foul ball. Then I worked the count to 2-2, 2 balls, 2 strikes. He then reared back and hung a curve right in my wheelhouse, right where I liked it. And I took a big swing, and I whiffed. I missed it. Rats. In a clutch situation, I let my team down. On my way back to the dugout, I drop-kicked my helmet. I flung my bat. My head was hanging as I looked for my glove to go back in the field. But as I passed by several teammates, a chorus of encouragement greeted me. "You'll get him next time," said the center fielder, slapping me on the backside. "Don't worry about it. There's plenty of time," said another. "We'll get this guy." But one phrase, a standard baseball cliche, stood out in my mind that day. He said, "Hey, Vince," said the star shortstop, "shake it off. Shake it off." What my buddy was saying, that for the good of the team, I had to put my inning-ending strikeout behind me. They knew I would get another chance to bat with runners on the corners and the game on the line. My teammates didn't want me dwelling on my strikeout. Instead, they wanted me in the right frame of mind, to get a hit kind of mind. He goes on to say, too many Christians these days are not able to shake off the strikeouts in their lives. They're not able to let go of the past. They're not able to let things go and move forward. And as a result, we get tied to those things. We get bound to those things. And those things hold us back. You know, we can't move forward if we're thinking about those things in the past, that, you know, you take that failure with you. You know, and dwelling on failures and dwelling on disappointment will cause probably another strikeout, because we don't have that confidence. We don't have that trust. But we got to have that trust in Jesus. And that's 1 Peter 5:10 is where that verse. It says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." God is all about restoration. You know, and the restoration's in relationships. He wants those relationships between you and your family, you and your friends, if they've fallen apart, he wants them restored. Mostly he wants the relationship between him and you restored. Because our relationship with him, sin breaks that relationship. Sin hinders that relationship. But he wants it restored. And just like Peter, you know, he did the 3 worst things. He denied him 3 times. But God really knew his true heart. And he drew him back. And he basically said, "You love me 3 times. Or, you know, don't worry about those others. Don't worry about the past." You know, we'll have failures in life. We'll have failures with God. But we need to keep perspective on ourselves and God. You know, we've got feelings. Feelings is such a hard thing. They rise and fall so fast. They change in a moment. Our feelings sometimes lead us astray. Feelings can get us in trouble. Feelings a lot of time aren't even true. But our feelings sometimes how close Jesus is. And sometimes we don't feel him very close at all. But he's right there. He's right there beside us. You know, he didn't go anywhere. If anybody moved, it was us. But our feelings make us feel that way. But failures of the past don't have to affect the present or the future. God doesn't want them to. God isn't concerned about our past as he is our answer right now. As our present, what we're doing and what we will do for him in the future. He wants our responses now to be what he wants it to be. You know, the past is done. The past is over. The past is there. We can't change it, but we can still make a difference. But we can't dwell on it and let us rule our life as we move forward. Now think of things you need to shake off. You know, God wants restoration. And now is more important than then. So shake off anything that's hindering. If there's things back there, if there's things you can fix, fix them. If there's things you can't, let it go. Be restored with God. You know, even if it's, you know, things aren't always going to go right. But keep plugging along. You know, don't go back to what you used to do. You know, he sent Peter back because it was such a big thing, you know. Took him from a boat again. He wanted him to understand. The original call's still there. The call hasn't changed. Despite what's gone on in your life, this is what I still want you to do. You know, took him from a boat. Now he's took him off a boat again. You know, the fire pit. He arranged all the things the same way. Just the looks that they gave each other. You know, as he remembered Jesus looking at him when he denied him that third time. Now he's looking at Jesus. Say, I love you the third time. You know all things. You know, he brought him back to where he'd been. He went through that cycle again and says, you're still going to be Peter. They're still going to be the rock in which the church is built. He's the same way with you. No matter what has failed, there's still a future. There's still a now. Don't get hung up. Don't get held back. Don't get bound by those things that didn't happen the way you wanted them to. Failures with God, failures with others. Just shake it off. Move on. God wants restoration. Like I say, mostly restoration with relationships. So he's not going anywhere. So don't give up. Keep going. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Peter, Lord. He does like a lot of us, speaks out of turn sometimes and speaks before. The voice starts before the brain engages sometimes with us. And but Lord, he did love you. Lord, he was a rock for you. And as the chapter goes on, you tell him that what's going to happen. And he understands he was going to have to give up his life for you. And Lord, he chose to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy even then. And Lord, let us be like Peter. Let us understand to put the past go, Lord, that we're still called by you to do something. And it's different for each one of us, but we're called. You've asked us to do things, Lord, and let us not get down with the failures, with the things when they don't happen, or maybe not in our time. Your timeline is true. Your timeline is best. But Lord, just restore those things that get broken, Lord. We thank you that you are a God of restoration, a God of relationships, and that the past doesn't mean the present and the future isn't with you. And thank you, Jesus, for the mercy and the grace you have. Give us wisdom in that, Lord. Teach us to do what you would have us to do without fear of failure, and just trust in you. Lord, just help us think about that as we go to communion, Lord. Think about the disappointments maybe in our life that we've had, but disappointments in our life we've had for others. And Lord, just let us recognize that they do not hold us back from what you would have us to do, because you are a loving God. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we just give it all in Jesus' name. Amen.